Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Amen. I've got my tea, so I'll drink some of that. As I do, go in your Bibles to John chapter 8. And go in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Now put a ribbon in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at John chapter 8. Today, I'm going to talk to you about the subject of the gift that keeps on giving. And I'm not talking about the fruitcake you got from somebody else. The gift that keeps on giving. When you look at this week is the intermediary week. Last week was Christmas. Yesterday, 2 days ago, we were celebrating Christmas Eve. Now, after Christmas is over, everybody's eyes are set towards the future. Looking towards 2016, starting to think about what am I going to do in 2016? What am I going to make a difference in? What am I going to change in my life? What are the things that I'm going to start doing that I've never done before? We look back at what we've done in 2015. If you're on social media, big thing right now, you see Facebook is talking about, you know, all of your pictures for 2015 in your life and the year, and the most impacted or the most, you know, whatever commented on or liked photo was. And it's a time of looking at ourselves, of introspection, of looking at ourselves, as well as looking to the future. And we do that in this season. We begin to think about resolutions. You know, the next coming year, as we celebrate New Year next week, we start making New Year's resolutions. You know what I'm talking about? Those promises, those guarantees, those goals, those desires. We make these resolutions. Why? Because ultimately, we want to be a part of something. We want to have fulfillment. We want to have a reason or a cause in our lives. And so we do these things like, you know, we say, oh, you know what? This is the year I'm going to make everything else different. This is the year, 2016. It's the year I'm going to join the gym. And you will for about a week. This is the year I'm going to lose those 20 pounds I've been waiting on, and I'm going to go on that diet. And you probably will, but it's the cookie diet. And we do that. We make our resolutions. I remember one year I made a resolution that I wasn't going to make any more resolutions. And I guess in that, I broke my resolution, so I held to it. So just make a resolution. They're good. They're good. And the reason that they're good is because they cause us to think. They cause us to examine. What do I want to do with my life? Why am I here? I want to be a better father. I want to be a better husband or a better, you know, if you're a wife, I want to be a better wife. Or I want to do better at my job. I want to work harder at getting that promotion or just be a better person this year. I want to be the person that everybody else wants to be around instead of being the negative person all the time. Whatever it might be, we make these resolutions and they're good because they cause us to examine ourselves, to look at ourselves, and to realize that we want to be a part of something bigger than just us. We want to have a reason for life. We want to exist. We want to have a meaningful life, and there's nothing wrong with that. We all should have that. As a matter of fact, it's even written into our Constitution, the pursuit of happiness for each and every person in America. Today, I want to talk about the gift that keeps on giving. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the glory days and what Christmas and the season means about Jesus and his birth, Emmanuel, God with us, and the glory days. If you remember, if you weren't here, it's okay. You can go online, you can watch that video, or you can listen to that sermon on a podcast, or you can go get a CD afterwards. I'd encourage you to grab a hold of it. It's a cool message. We talked about the glory days, and the glory days, we realize they're not the days that we look back to, the days of old, the golden era. No, the glory days are today. We are living in the glory days because of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And remember the statement, and I want to really kind of build today off of that statement. The statement was, to those who look, God's glory, his goodness shines in a world of chaos. Today I want to look at that gift that keeps on giving and understand that and picking up where we left off last week in Hebrews, the first chapter. Now I didn't have you turn there because I'll just paraphrase it on the overhead. Hebrews, the first chapter, verse number 3 tells us that Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. The express image of his person. Jesus is God incarnate. Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. Now we're talking about glory that shines to those who look. If you think of it like this, in the terms of a lamp, Jesus is the light bulb in the lamp that illuminates God's glory. He is the express image of God's person. So we see that Jesus shines, his glory shines. We live in a time when God's glory is revealed, his goodness is revealed to humanity through Jesus Christ and through his finished work on the cross. Now we realize and we recognize that we are in the glory days. And Jesus, as we think about that statement, the brightness of his glory, Jesus recognized this about himself. He understood his position. Now I had you turn to John the 8th chapter. Look at me at John the 8th chapter, verse number 12. John chapter 8, verse number 12. Jesus says these words. He says, I am the light of the world. You see, Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the image of God's person. Jesus is the light bulb, the filament, the luminary in the lamp of the world. Jesus recognized that. And he says, this is God's promise to you. God's promise to me as his disciples, as followers of Jesus. Look at his words to you. He says, I am the light of the world. You, he who follows me, shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Think about it for a moment. What does darkness represent? Darkness represents uncertainty, insecurity. Darkness brings all sorts of different thoughts and different emotions and different fears and different feelings that we didn't recognize or realize that we were even experiencing. Have you ever been in a dark room in the middle of the night trying to go to the bathroom or make a sandwich or whatever it is? Have you ever gone through your house when it's completely dark and you wonder to yourself, did I pick up the floor? Did I take that shirt off the floor or whatever it might be? I remember one time I was in the forest. We were hiking and we got lost. And I was there in the middle of the night with a couple of other people. I've told the story before. And we were there under the covers of the trees. You couldn't see the sky and it was pitch black. All we had between three guys was a keychain flashlight. And in the darkness, everything else begins to change. Every sound. Every time the wind blows, every feeling, you are so much more in tune to your insecurities and your insufficiencies in the darkness than you are in the light. I remember we're walking and a twig behind us snaps and everybody's like, what is that? Bigfoot. He's alive. You see, darkness represents fear, insecurity and chaos and inconsistency. The unknown, I can't see what's ahead of me. I don't know what's around me. I'm all alone. And Jesus' guarantee, his promise to you, his promise to me, is that when you follow him, you will not walk in darkness. But you will have the light of life. The light of life, illumination. Jesus, the brightness of God's glory will shine upon us and we will see fulfillment and clarity and understanding that our lives are a part of something bigger than us. You see, the gift that keeps on giving is Jesus. He's the gift that keeps on giving. Why? Because his light is not like a flash on a camera in here for a moment. All of a sudden it illuminates everything in the room, but by the time your eyes process it, it's already dark again. No, his light, once it was here, is here to stay. Jesus says, you will not walk in darkness. The gift that keeps on giving. The gift that keeps on giving. But speaking of gifts, a couple of weeks ago, Jesus was talking about gifts. Jesus was talking about giving away. And I'll put it up on the overheads for you just as a review, John 17 chapter. This is Jesus' prayer for you, for me. This is Jesus praying over us, his people, today. And Jesus is talking about us and he says, God, the glory you, God, gave me, Jesus. I love this. He says, I have given them. Who's them? You're them. Jesus is talking about you and he says, God, your manifested goodness, God, and the very fact that I am the brightness of your glory, I am the light bulb in the lamp of the glory of God. God, you gave this to me, now I give it to them, you and me. We have it in us that they, who, you and I, might be one just as we are one. He says, and they and me and I and them, they may be made perfect. That the world may know. There it is. That the world may know. You see, this world our world, your family, your workplace, your friends, the people that you come into contact with every day, the people that are standing next to you at the shopping market, the people on the other side of this earth are living in a perpetual state of darkness, of insecurity, of chaos, of uncertainty. I don't know what the future holds. And Jesus says, I have come. The glory that God you have given to me, I give to them that the world may know. The world is looking for light. The world is looking for an answer. The world is looking for a savior. If there's any indication of that, look at our entertainment. Every movie that comes out is about a society that is destroyed, a society that is in shambles, and there's some young or unknown or unthought of savior rising up from the ashes to deliver the people from the corrupt or the horrific government or leader or dictator, what it is, the Hunger Games, the Maze Runner, James Bond, I don't know, they're all the same. You see, because our society, our world is crying out. We're in darkness and we're looking for light and we're writing the stories and we're making the plays and we're writing the books and we're making the statement that we need something to change. And Jesus says, the glory, the goodness, God, that you gave to me, I give to them so the world would know. Now, how'd you turn to Matthew chapter 5? Go with there. Go there to me. Go there with me. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14. Jesus knew this about you and me. As he's speaking to his people, as he's speaking to the listeners on his Sermon on the Mount, on his famous sermon, Matthew, the 5th chapter, Jesus says in verse number 14, he says, you, who's you? You. He says, you are the light of the world. Wait a minute, Pastor Luke, I'm fairly certain about 5 minutes ago, we were in John chapter 8, when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Yeah, we were there. Jesus is the light of the world, but now Jesus says, listen, I have an understanding that you don't have yet. We see it in hindsight, 2020. Jesus says, church, followers, disciples, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you will live in the light of life. But the light is not a light that will shine on you. The light is a light that will shine through you. You are the light of the world. Everybody who has Jesus is the light of the world. Let me drink my tea. Amen. That didn't mix. You're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. You see, the world is looking for an answer. The world is in darkness. The world is in confusion and inconsistency and uncertainty. The world is crying out for solutions. And Jesus says all along, you're the answer. You're the answer. Not because you're smart. Not because you're going to invent the next greatest cure, the next greatest invention. Jesus says, you are the answer because you have me. And I am the light bulb that goes in the lamp of your body. Think about it. You're a lamp. And Jesus says, when you have me, you got that. They don't even sell them anymore in California. You got that 100-watt light bulb. Not that little 27-watt that you can buy now. He says, no. I am the light. And he even says this about you and me. He says, listen, you don't take a lamp, light it, and put a basket under it or over it. Don't hide your light. Don't mask your light. You see, if you have Jesus on the inside of you, you are radiating a light of Christ, the answer to the world. And Jesus says, don't hide your light. In Jesus' day, a lamp. He says, don't take a lamp and put it under a basket. In Jesus' day, a lamp was about 4 inches. It was made out of clay. Had a little handle, kind of looked like Aladdin's genie lamp, had a big hole in the middle, and had a little spout on the side. You could pour out of it or whatever, but you would pour olive oil into the lamp, and you would stick a string or a wick in there, and then you would light it. They didn't have lighters. It was a lot of effort to make light. They didn't just get to flip a switch. They would light it. And he says, you don't go through all the effort. You don't go through all the cost of going down to the market to buy the wick and buy the lamp and buy the olive oil to light. I don't know what. Right? I don't know. They didn't have matches either. I don't even know. Rub two sticks together. You don't go through all that effort to light your lamp and put a basket over it. Because what good does it do? What good does it do? Just like you and I, we don't turn on the light switch of our house when there's a light bulb out. What good does it do? Turn the switch all you want, nothing will happen. And Jesus says, you are a lamp, and I am the light bulb inside of that lamp. And he says, I don't want you to hide. I don't want you to back off. Well, you know what? That's your thing. That's my thing. We'll all get together, and I'm not going to force. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. No, Jesus says, shine! Because there's a lot of people out there that are in darkness. There's a lot of people out there that are going to die not knowing the light. And Jesus says, as church, as his believers, we can't afford to back off. He says, shine your light. Because you are the light of the world because of Jesus. But Pastor Luke, they don't want to hear what I have to say. When I talk my Jesus talk, man, they get all mad at me. They say all sorts of crazy things about me. They rag on me on social media. This world has become increasingly anti-Jesus talk. They don't want to hear about your Jesus anymore. That's all right. You know, because Jesus in his time, they didn't want to hear about Jesus then either. They nailed him to a cross. And Jesus said these words in verse number 16. He says that they will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Jesus says, look, man, you can be all talk you want. The world is watching you. And when they see you lighting the path, lighting around, they will see and they will recognize and they will realize there is something about you that is not you. Because he says they'll glorify their Father in heaven. Wait a minute. You would think the logical conclusion is they would see your good works and pat you on the back. Good job. Have you ever been around a glory hog? Somebody that just is like too good for their own self? When I go fishing, I'm around a bunch of glory hogs. Like, man, I caught a fish that was like this big. And they're like, yeah, I caught a fish that was like this big. Whatever, man. Out on the basketball court or out at the job or whatever. Well, I made this many sales today. Psh, I'm salesman of the month. This. What do you got to say? Well, man, whatever. Forget it. I didn't even tell you anything anymore. When somebody's around and they take all the credit and they're a glory hog, what happens? You don't want to be around them. That's right. Why? Because if I say something, you're just going to one-up me. Do a better job. Well. No. Jesus says they will see your good works and you won't hog the glory. They will see your good works and they will give God the glory. Why? Here's why. Because the world is in darkness. But the world is shining a light aside from Jesus. I mean, think about it. There's a lot of things going on in this world. Things like hunger and things like AIDS and things like, Ebola when that was going on. There's things like human trafficking and all sorts of different things. And the world is shining a light. There are people, good people out there in the world that are saying, you know what? I'm going to make a stand. I'm going to give my money to this and I'm going to give my life to that and I'm going to shine my light in a darkness. And it shines. It's visible. It can be seen. It is a light that shines, but it's a small light. But you see, we can shine the light of humanity. We can shine the light of philanthropy, or we can shine the light of Jesus Christ. And the world's light is small, but God's light is pretty big. And it'll light up the room. It'll light up the world. It'll light up the people around you and people will begin to look at you and they'll begin to see something about you and they'll say, hey, wait a minute, I'm shining a light, but your light outshines my light. I don't even see my light anymore. You can turn the lights back on. Why? Because the light that is in you is not backed by philanthropy or philosophy or goodwill to humanity. The light that is in you is so much bigger than any human concept can come up with. And therefore, when people see your life, they will look at your light and they will say, oh my goodness, there is something so bright, so massive, so big about you that my light is this little dinky thing, and I look at that and I'm a little jealous. How do I get that light? Because it's God's light. It's God's light. Because Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. And Jesus gave that glory to us. And Jesus was the light of the world. You were a lamp. You were without a light bulb. Or you had a little 15 water. Somebody came up with a 1500 watt light bulb. Jesus Christ. Now all of a sudden when people see the good deeds and they see the light shining, they'll look at that and say, that cannot possibly be you. What is it? What is it? Well, Pastor Luke, I don't got nothing to offer. My life's a wreck. I'm emotionally unstable. I'm super insecure. I don't know where my future holds. I feel like I'm walking around in a little bit of darkness. How can you possibly encourage me or tell me to shine my light? You've got nothing to offer. Nope. None of us have anything to offer. I'll tell you from my own perspective. When I preach good, I get a lot of accolades. It's great. When I don't preach good, I don't get none. But people tell me, man, your message about this just spoke to me. Your message over here changed my life. My family members came in, they got saved because you were speaking, or I got healed when you were preaching because I just, all of a sudden something happened and it's just like amazing. And all the time, all I ever say when somebody says that, I just say, I'm so glad that I get to be a part of what God is doing. Because you see, I'm a kid who can't apply himself. Barely made it through school, did just enough to make it through school. I'm the kind of guy that gets to 80% of the things that I like to do and then I quit. I can't even keep a straight thought for more than 30 seconds, but despise all the fact that I've got nothing to offer. I have a light, and the light is Jesus, and the light shines through me. So you may not have anything to offer. You may feel worthless in life. A loser, a downcast, but Jesus took 12 downcast losers and used them to shine a light and change the entire planet for his word, which means the light is not about what you can offer by yourself. That's this light. And some people got a mini mag light, some people got a full-size mag light, but with Jesus, you got a spotlight. You have the light of the world. Amen. Thus, you are the light of the world. Amen. See the gift that keeps on giving? It's you. It's you. Because you have Jesus. And Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. And so you have the light, and now you shine, and people see you, and they see Jesus. You are the gift that keeps on giving. So what do I do with my life? What do I do with this? I don't even understand. I've got to go home and process this. I don't even know what to do. It's easy. You're thinking about it. This week is perfect because you're already thinking about your future. You're already thinking about your New Year's resolution. You're already thinking about, what did I do this year? What do I want to do next year? It's so simple. Now take some time to seek after God and his direction for where to shine your light. Because you can be strategic. You can shine your light in a strategic area. You could say, you know what? This year I'm gonna shine in my family. This year I'm gonna shine with my friends. This year I'm gonna be the person that shines in my workplace and stop complaining about it, and I'm gonna start shining about it. I'll start shining with the people that are around me. God, when I go to the grocery store, I want to shine. That's one of my things, man. I go to the grocery store and I'm like a hermit. Like, don't talk to me. People are like, Pastor Luke. I'm like, I'm an introvert. Sorry. Lord, help me to shine. How can you shine in 2016? Because you can live life on purpose. You can have a strategic plan. God, I'm going to shine with this place. I'm going to shine with that. I'm going to shine with my friends. I'm going to shine with my family. I'm gonna even shine with my frenemies. You can shine. Be strategic about it. Because the world is watching. The world is watching. If you've ever said to anybody that you got Jesus, they start watching. Chances are they're watching and waiting for you to fail. But Jesus says, if you've got me, you don't walk in darkness. You walk in the light of life. Paul the Apostle talks about the same subject in Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians, Paul says, do all things without complaining and disputing. You said you had Jesus and then you turned your light bulb off. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Why? That you may become blameless and harmless. Children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Look at this. Among whom you shine as lights. Paul says, the world is watching you. They're waiting for you. They need you. They may not want to hear your words, but they're watching what you do. How can you shine to your world? I got a really cool video of an illustration of somebody, some people that shone the light of Jesus to a man that was in the NFL. Check it out.
Washington Redskins linebacker Lorenzo Alexander is one of the hardest hitters in the game. Over the last six seasons, he's made a name for himself as a playmaker on special teams. And he gives God all the credit for his success, especially because of the path he took to get to the NFL.
I think before I found Christ, I was really just living for myself and went off to college, you know, wilding out with the drinking, the women, you know, partying. I was kind of the stereotypical, athlete, you know, jock that people, associate us with, you know, how we act off the field.
During that time, he noticed there was something different about some of his teammates. Yeah.
And they didn't really, you know, say, I'm a Christian, you know, you should believe in God. I just saw the way they walked through the room, you know, the way they dealt with their family, the way they dealt with their kids, how they approach work every day. You know, guys like Randall L., James Thrash, Renardo Wynn. I mean, these guys, I mean, it was just pouring out of them. I mean, you can't miss it. I mean, Randall L., mm-hmm. I mean, he bounces around every day. It could be rain, sleet, snow, or sign. He's walking with, you know, God on his shoulder, in his ear, you know, has that book with him. My heart was broken. I was missing something. And I saw these brothers. I said, man, I need to get what they have, whatever that is, I need it.
Lorenzo began meeting with the team chaplain, Brett Fuller, and he had a lot of questions for him.
You know, how I fit in this big picture, you know, where do I fit in the grand theme, scheme of things, and how can I have a better relationship with the Lord?
Lorenzo gave his life to the Lord. And he was surprised by what started happening in his life.
I think when you first come to the Lord, a lot of the big things just kind of fall off, like drinking. Like when I drink, I'm just, you know, all the morality goes out the window as far as, you know, right and wrong and all that. And I mean, that was like one of the first things he chopped off me, bam. So I stopped drinking and really didn't have the thirst for it anymore because I just knew where it takes me. I think my motivation changed, not living for myself anymore, living to please him, his standards, not other people, because I know if I please him, everybody else is going to be more than happy of what I'm doing.
So you see in Lorenzo's life, did you catch what he said? He said that there were some people on his team and it wasn't that they were saying, I'm a Christian. Remember the statement he said? He said, you couldn't miss it. Light. You see, the world is watching and there are people all around us, people that we know and people that we don't know. And even you yourself in this place, many of you feel like Lorenzo was. A little bit lost, a little bit dark, a little bit insecure, a little bit not sure of what's going on. But you see, Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. He is the light of the world, and his promise to us from John the 8th chapter, verse number 12, is that when you follow me, you will not be in darkness. You will walk in the light of this world. You are the light of the world. So the question is, what are you doing to shine? What are you doing to shine? How can you shine your light? I'll take a little segue for that. And if you're with us, if you're part of the church family, I want to invite you to do what we do. In the month of January, the church leadership here always goes through a fasting period, whether it's the entire month. Some people go for 40 days. Some people just do it for a meal, for a week, or for whatever it might be. The leadership team at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center always fasts in the month of January to seek after God. You can see, what is fasting? Fasting is simply setting aside a meal or food for a certain period of time to get into a deeper experience with God, to know God on a deeper level, to hear answers that I wouldn't normally hear in the chaos and the noise of life, to set those things aside and to say, God, I will quiet myself. God, I will listen to your voice. I want to invite you to join with us in fasting for the month of January. Whether it's breakfast, whether it's a lunch, whether it's one day a week, whether it's the month, whether it's desserts, or whether, you know, it could be anything. You could fast steak. You could fast coffee. Whew, that's a tough one. Whatever it might be, to set aside something for a certain period of time, whether it's a day out of the month, a day out of the week, to say, you know what, I'm going to take this and I'm going to skip this time and I'm going to focus on God. And I'm going to ask God, like that thought was, God, I'm going to seek you for how I can shine my light. God, I want you to speak to me. Give me a purpose for my light. Give me a direction where and whom to shine my light. And to seek after God in the month of January to shine your light for the month or for the year of 2016. Because you see, the world is watching, like Lorenzo. There are people you may not know that are watching, and all it takes is for you to shine. You know, they may not come to you and ask you to get saved. You notice how Lorenzo went to the chaplain and not to the players. But because you shined your light, somebody saw God. And you think about it. You can shine a light. You can give somebody a meal across the world. You can pay a dollar a month or a dollar a day to give somebody an education, and for 25 years, I'll have a wonderful education. You'll make a huge difference in that person's life. Or you can shine your light. You can shine your light with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you can show somebody who was living in utter darkness that there is a God who loves them, a God who knows them, a God who cherishes them, and that there is light for their dark situation, and they will come to know Jesus. And that is not just a lifetime impact, that is an eternal impact. That is a big light. Hosea was talking about a fast in Hosea, the 8th chapter. Hosea kind of had to eat his words a little bit. He's a prophet, and he was telling the king, I'm going on a journey. King says, let me give you my guards. Let me give you some people surrounding me. And Hosea's like, man, I'm with God. I don't need none of that stuff. I got God on my side. And Hosea gets out into the wilderness and out into the forest, and he realizes, wait a minute, there are bandits, there are raiders, and there are people who hate me on this road. So he starts thinking, oh, dang it. Should have done something about that. Hosea says these words. He says that we fasted and we entreated God for this, for protection, for safety. And the Lord answered our prayer. That's what fasting's all about. Taking some time to set aside something, whether it's a meal, whether it's a day, whether it's a week, whether it's 21 days, if you do the Daniel fast out of Daniel the 10th chapter, or you can do the Daniel fast out of Daniel the 2nd chapter, whatever it might be. It's between you and God. It's not about how you look. It's about between you and God, seeking after God. As a matter of fact, Jesus says these words. Jesus says in Matthew, the 6th chapter, he says, and when you fast, dang it. I wish he would have said, and if you fast. He said, and when you fast, I love that. Comb your hair, wash your face, brush your teeth. Says no one will notice that you're fasting. It's not about looking all miserable and pious before God. He says, except your Father, who knows what you do in private. And your Father, who sees everything, the New King James says, everything in private will reward you in open. Just like Hosea, on his face before God. God, I need your protection. Us, the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, on our face before God, saying, God, I need your direction. Because God, I want to shine my light. I want to shine so bright that people see me and they recognize that that's not me. They recognize that that can't possibly be me, because that's bigger than me. I want to be part of something bigger than me. Because Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. And you have Jesus in you, which means you have the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You have Jesus, the brightness of God's glory, his goodness that the world is looking for. And we, his people, have to be a light to the darkness. So I want to encourage you this week Get with God. God, what can I do to shine my light? Who can I shine my light on? God, help me to shine your light in my life. And listen to the words of God. And watch what he does in this next year. In the Inland Empire and around the world. In your family, in your job, with your coworkers, with the people that drive you nuts. Wherever it might be, shine his light. Because you are the gift that keeps on giving. You can be drained by people, but you can never be drained by God. Because he fills you up to where you can never be emptied. That's because you got a big light. Use it with Jesus. Did you guys get something out of the Word of God today?
Amen. Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.